welcome to the Yes to Life show on UK Health Radio. I'm Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of Yes to Life, the UK's integrative cancer care charity. And if you're new to integrative medicine, and a quick way of explaining it would be to say that it's cancer care that really is tailored to individual needs, that it includes all sorts of therapies that are health-promoting and that support people's mental, emotional and spiritual well-being, as well as their physical health. And all of this is with the aim of giving people longer and better lives. Sylvia Menzerati is someone with a long history of delivering integrative cancer care as a nutritionist, a naturopath, a herbalist and a bodywork practitioner. She's a great supporter of Yes to Life, and she attended our recent annual conference in Euston, London, and came back to me afterwards with many thoughts in response to what she saw and heard there that I thought could form an interesting discussion here on the Yes to Life show. Welcome to the Yes to Life show, Sylvia.
Thank you for having me today. Hi, Robbie. Hello, everyone.
It's a real pleasure to have you as my guest.
Likewise.
We were chatting after you attended our in-person conference in London recently, and it has clearly prompted an eclectic mix of thoughts for you that have the makings of some interesting discussions. So let's see where we get to with it all today. But first of all, before we dig in, it's your first time on the show. I wonder if you just want to introduce yourself to the listeners and say a little bit about what you do and why.
Right. It's an immense pleasure that I'm here today. Thank you very much for having me. So I'm a nutritionist and naturopath and herbalist. And basically, I just help people in their path to good health. I work a lot with cancer patients, and my aim is really to empower them with knowledge on what is available out there, what they can do to put the body back on track and ready to fight. The conference was really interesting. I really enjoyed it. There were lots of very interesting talks.
Yeah.
And what really struck me was what came out of it, that no matter how far we go with the research, and in the last probably 15 to 20 years, we had lots of advancement, and there is more also knowledge, because the internet is available, so people can inform themselves. But no matter how far we go with science, there is always an aspect that is very personal to deal with. And I think that is what came out from the conference that really, really impressed me, because that is what I see in my practice every single time.
Right. Okay, well, that's something I want to talk to you much more about. How did you get started with this kind of work?
That was something that I just realized, you know, probably in the past 5 years, how everything got planned in my life. So let's say that cancer is something that I felt the presence of cancer during my life quite often, and since a very young age as well. I remember being a toddler, probably about 6 years old, 5-6 years old, and there was this sudden change. We were living in Rome, a big city, and suddenly we had to move. We were moving in the countryside. I had to change school, and there was this new life at home, and the reason was that my father was not well. And so and I was hearing, you know, when all those were talking, I was hearing this word cancer. And I was asking myself, what is this cancer, you know? But then I saw how my family life changed. So we started to grow our food. My father was spending a lot of time walking outside, and he was eating completely different food from what we were eating at the table. And I was asking myself, you know, as a toddler, what is it? What's going on here? And then years later, my father By the way, he lived until 82, 83 years old. So, and I can see now all the changes that he has done in his life that took him to that kind of results. He started to do yoga and in his 70s. And then a few years forward, I saw my mom actually going completely through a different experience. So she got into a hospital with a cough, and she came out 20 days later in a coffin. And that was stomach cancer. It was a late stage. I saw with my eyes how the doctors were kind of considering her body a guinea pig. So they tried lots of things on her, and of course nothing worked. And that was another, you know, view that I had of cancer. And I was, you know, thinking, oh, so that cancer is really something bad, because, you know. And then years later, I got cancer. So I had that call from the doctor saying, you know, there is something here that is not right. And I asked to myself at that moment, what shall I do? You know? And I remember that I was completely tired, exhausted from my experience with my mom. She just passed away 5 years earlier. I was exhausted with my work, a 9-to-5 job. It was very demanding. And I just decided to leave. And I went to backpacking for 3 months in Mexico. And then I ended up staying there for 2 years. And I probably healed myself in that way. Only now I'm realizing how there are different aspects of cancers to address. It's not only, I was like listening to lots of speakers at the conference. Everyone was saying it's not only the war between the doctors and the cancer, the medicine and the cancer. It's much, much more than that. So the approach has to be full spectrum. It has to really encompass everything: nutrition, exercise for sure, breathing, everything. The stress has to go. We need really to reconnect with ourselves, and then our body will be able to, you know, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, well, that you're right. That's very much the message which we're trying to put across. It's the message of integration. It all matters, basically, yeah?
Absolutely.
Inclusive. Yeah, very good. All right. So thanks. So let's, some of these things that you mentioned afterwards, it just made you think. Let's start out with supplements. Yeah. You've got quite a bit to say about that. The whole transferring of the pharmaceutical pill popping mentality into the supplement arena. So we've got now got nutraceuticals being prescribed and taken rather like a pill for all ills, you know, that kind of paradigm. So what's your thinking about the role of supplements?
Yeah, they are being prescribed, as you said, but not many times they are being taken, because they can be overwhelming as well, yeah? Especially with people with cancer. We need to understand that already their absorption is compromised, their digestive system is compromised. So adding another pill that has to go through the same path, has to go to the liver to be detoxified. So it can be overwhelming for the body. They are very expensive as well. So not many people, you know, can afford the best. And also, I think we are risking, as you were saying, we are risking to go to the same route when we talk about taking medicine and when we're talking about taking supplements. We think that we can find healing in a box, or that healing is on sale in a shop. It's not really like that. But anyway, from an absorption point of view, I really think that we can do a lot through food. It's much more complete. You need to think that when they're doing supplements, they're taking a nutrient and they're just isolating it and transforming it in something that can be on sale in the on the shelves. So it's done in a laboratory. So it loses that simple nutrients, loses all the synergies of all the other nutrients that they are in the same plant. So we're always thinking about curcumin in turmeric, but turmeric is not only curcumin, it's a lot more. So by eating the whole, the real turmeric, we can really appreciate the whole benefit as a whole, you know. And also, I was listening. There is lots of confusion as well about, I don't know, let's say calcium. Yeah, we know that standard care treatments can, you know, interfere with bone health, and so doctors are usually willing to prescribe and to advise to take calcium. We need to be really careful with calcium. There is lots of research that actually says the opposite, that is not really good for our bones, for our heart, and for many other things. And also, the majority of calcium supplements out there are made of calcium carbonate, which is actually chalk. So it would be much better to have calcium through food. I'm not talking only about dairy. There are lots of vegetables that are really rich in calcium. I just want to mention okra, which are readily available in any corner shop, especially here in England, in the UK. They have a huge amount of calcium. And moringa. Moringa is probably... There was a study that was saying that it's got 17 times more calcium than milk. And it's, again, it's very easily available. Just go to your corner shop, talk to, you know, the guy and ask for moringa. And
I don't know what it looks like even. Right. Okay.
It's a
what
tree.
Is that?
It's a tree.
It's a tree.
Beautiful tree,
okay,
that grows wildly in all Southeastern Asia. I remember when I was in Sri Lanka, I was just picking leaves from the tree and having like an omelette with that. It's amazing. Here, you can find the fresh leaves if you ask to the corner shop, or you can find the powder, and it's quite cheap. Don't go to, I mean, big healthy shop. Just go to your corner shop and ask them, because they know the real source. So it's all organic.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, the topic of supplements, it leads on to the apparent complexity involved in integrative care these days. So everybody's got rows of these complicated sounding supplements on the shelf. Often, I think you made the comment, they're quite often unopened, you know, that, and people are having to deal with an amazing level of complexity. And also, as you've just said, costs as well. They're not cheap, these things.
No, they're not. And we need to remember that it's a market, and many pharmaceutical companies are producing supplements as well. So it's the same, you know, the money
right.
goes in the same pocket. We need to be really, really careful. The issue is that it's all available in nature. Yeah, we created the supplements because we want something fast and quick. Something that we can just grab, and that's the pill. We are attracted to the pill, the tablet. So that's how I think the supplement market can still be so thriving. But I remember when Brit was talking about, you know, she was offering the juice and everything, she was saying, you know, you got everything in what you can put in your table every single day, and it doesn't cost a lot. Actually, it's quite cheap. You know, there was, for example, there was a study mentioned in the conference about an antifungal. I think it was hydroconazole. that has been studied. Yeah. But what about berberine? What about garlic? You know, what about aloe vera? These are potent antifungal. And there are probably more than 5,000 years of kind of research, you know, and proof that they work.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UK Radio to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I mean, this issue of cost is a very important one. Because it breaks the bank for a lot of people trying to do everything, and it's all got to be paid for. So I think it's a very important topic. We're planning to address it. Actually, we're putting together a book about doing integrative cancer care on a low budget, which I think so many people need to do who approach us. You know, they don't have a lot of money, and yet they know there are things they could do to help themselves. And of course, what immense frustration when you're facing a life-threatening disease. You can't do everything you want to do. So knowing what you can do that gives you good bang for your buck, if you like, you know, it gives you a lot, but not very much money, is hugely important. And obviously something you're concerned about too.
Absolutely. And also we think that by spending money, we can buy healing. Again, we can't, right? So we need really to start looking into ourselves. What is cancer? Why it happened? You know, I always tell my clients, don't think about the word cancer. Just change it. Yeah, there are other 6-letter words that are much more interesting, like change, like growth. You know, cancer can be a way to grow and a way to change. So if we are used to, you know, have the ready meal, if we are used to have every single thing ready there to be taken and just ingested just because we need to ingest something, that's not going to give lots of results. We really have to be conscious and interact with our body. Once we have this connection, then we can understand what's working, what is not working for us. It's like meat. We heard a lot talking about meat. There are people who are saying, yes, we have to eat meat. There are other people who are saying, no. The WHO is considering meat as a carcinogen now, processed meat, right? But again, do you know many people who are eating meat? I don't. I know many people who are eating what they think is meat. So it's the meat in, I don't know, in the ready meal lasagna, or is the ready chili con carne they can get from the supermarket, or it's the hot dog, is the sausage, is the bacon, is the chicken burger, is the burger. This is not meat. Yeah, this is all derived from meat. Yeah. And we are reaching, probably we are going a little bit too far with this meat issue, because we are creating now fake meat in a lab, which is even more dangerous. And we need to remember, when we say, like, now, I don't know if you heard about it, but they are making a vaccine for cows so they cannot fart anymore.
I haven't heard that, no.
And cows now are responsible for climate change and everything. But then if you look at the first buyer of meat in the United States, it's McDonald's. So if we stop, if there is no demand, they have to stop producing, right? Because nobody's going to buy. So I think the choice, we have the choice in our hands. I find myself in my practice sometimes that I need to recommend meat because there is no B12, because, you know, levels are very low. There is a very general malnutrition in the person, and the person has to have proper meat, because it's a very nutritious food that we can have. Not for a long time, you know, just to reestablish the B12 values, just to give, you know, a push to the body, and that's it. But the processed meat is not meat, and for sure can be a carcinogen.
Mm. Yeah, it's to me, it's always much more about what's been done to the food than what the food is. You know, most foods, if they've been left alone,
absolutely,
are good. So it's when they've been left around.
Yes,
it.
Yes. Yeah, there are so many populations, you know, in the corners of the earth that were, you know, they have to eat. They eat meat, raw meat. They drink raw blood, yeah, you know, every single day, because otherwise they can't survive. So it's what we have done with the meat that is the problem. Yeah. You know, it's what we have done with food that is the problem. So, yeah.
Okay. Now I'm going to jump to something completely different. You noted that cannabis as a medicine and CBD were prompting a lot of questions. And obviously,
yes,
as with the enormously interesting psilocybin, there are legal issues around cannabis which are prompting the setting up of clever ways to enable access without breaking the law. But that's another matter. But maybe now we can talk about how the evidence for the effectiveness of cannabis medicines, of CBD, how they've moved on. I mean, it's been in the cancer arena now for quite a little while. It's not the new kid on the block anymore. And I'm just interested to hear how the research has gone, where it's taken it to.
The research is there, again, since centuries. Cannabis was considered a medicine until the beginning of the 20th century in America. It was in the books. It was considered, it was prescribed by doctors. Then in the 1930s, I think, has been declared illegal. So that is the problem. There is research. Everybody knows it's a medicine. But the problem is the law. So in America now, they are open a little bit. You can find medicinal cannabis in pharmacies and dispensaries. You can have a medical, you know, prescription for it. Here, no, I don't think it is for cancer at least. There is something opening for autism and other brain issues, but it's not recognized for cancer yet. In my view, it's only a legal problem. The issue comes with the because cannabis is not legal in many countries, and they isolated the CBD and the cannabidiol, which is one of the nutrients of the plant, and they marketed it. So we can find now CBD oils in shops. There is the CBD oil that we find in shop is not really what we consider as medical cannabis, because that is the plant, the whole plant.
No, it's only a part of it, yeah.
So it can help from, I don't know, sleeping issues. It can probably calm the person down a little bit, but it has not particularly significant resources to be, you know, declared and anti-cancer nutrients. So many people are just going abroad, unfortunately. Spain, Holland, America. This is the situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, that's what people have to do around. But so you're saying that the evidence for the whole cannabis plant as a cancer medicine has continued
Absolutely,
to
yes.
build?
Where is possible? So, like, even in the United States, it depends which state you are considering. There are states who are more open, and for sure there is, you know, the possibility, the opportunity to have it, and there are the states which are not allowing it. It's definitely a political decision. I mean, I can see why, because, of course, there will not be probably the need for institutionalized medicine anymore, because plants can be, you know, very strong and potent. But yeah, it's a political decision, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
It has been studied for many different kind of cancers, for brain tumors, for lung cancers, breast cancers. And, you know, it's a shame, really.
It's a shame it's not available, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's useful for side effects as well, isn't it? I mean, that's something that's been established for quite a long time.
Yes, it can, you know, it's one of the issues is also appetite. It can increase the appetite. It's not only an adaptogen, so it's not only a plant that can, you know, have benefits on our nervous system. It's a very, you know, full spectrum.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so in keeping with our eclectic chat, I'm going to jump to something else now, completely different. You mentioned that you're preparing a workshop on natural solutions for the menopause. Now, that menopause, well, why does it relate to your cancer? Well, a lot of people get treatment that actually brings on the menopause very suddenly. And it's quite a deal, basically, for a young woman to be suddenly plunged into the menopause. It could be drugs, it could be surgery. So do you want to say a bit about your workshop that you're building and what people can expect to learn?
Yes, so as the name suggests, I'm trying to give the opportunity to find natural solution for the menopause. Because again, the answer that we have from the medical world is hormones. And unfortunately, especially with cancer, you know, many, many times. I often go with my clients to their appointments with the surgeon or their oncologist. And especially for breast cancer and for other gynecological cancers, if not the first, but the second question is, have you been on HRT or are you on HRT? So there is a connection, clearly, right? And unfortunately, HRT is probably the only solution that the NHS can offer at the moment for the menopause. They are also using hormones to regulate many kinds of cancers. I try to offer natural solution instead because there is a risk of accumulations in the body of these hormones. They can give many issues later on in life, as, for example, cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and many other issues.
So, what can people expect? First of all, the workshop you're building, this is going to be an online workshop, is it?
Yes, and I will also present it in different spots in London. I will give you all the details soon. Yes. Yes, because I would like to also. It's not only the workshop. People would experience something like how they can apply what they learn in real life. So there will be some herbal teas and there will be some dishes prepared with specific foods that can, you know, help. So one of the things with the menopause is to try to balance whatever level of hormones we're still producing. So we always been told that as soon as we reach menopause, we stop producing estrogen, progesterone, which is actually not true. So we can have our ovaries removed, for example, and technically, you know, being dumped in a menopause, but our body still produces estrogen. Many other cells are producing estrogen and progesterone in a very small level. My aim is to support the body and to support the production of natural hormones. I use a lot of phytonutrients, so lots of plants again, for example, flaxseed, and, you know, a very plant-based diet, and making sure the person gets all the minerals and all the vitamins that they are needed for good health. And then there are lots of, symptoms of the menopause. So every person is different again. So we need to address the person. So we can't say really, I don't know, sage is good for the hot flashes. Yes, it is. It will work for some people, but for some other people, something else will work. So yeah, I just would like to help, you know, towards like with knowledge, towards this, you know, going through this phase of life, which is quite important for us, for all women.
Absolutely. Well, it's great to focus in on it in this way. Because, yeah, these things are They're one of a panoply of side effects that cancer treatment throws at people. But all too easy, it's just in the list along with everything else. But actually, it's majorly life-changing, isn't it? It's it's a big deal.
And it's overseen. Doctors don't pay any kind of attention to it. And women are completely left alone. And they don't even know they are in menopause. Right. They just know that, they're not really informed. Yes, they don't get the information from doctors.
Right. Now, look, I noticed one thing you said there, which no other practitioner has ever said to me, which is you go into lots of the appointments with your client. Very interesting.
Yes.
Now, I mean, the story I usually get told is how, the practitioner communicates with the oncologist, say, and never hears anything back. They write all these letters in telling them what they're doing and why, everything, and they don't hear a thing back. That's quite a common story, but I don't hear people going in. And so are you directly engaging with them or being a bit of a spectator?
So the reason why I started to go is, first of all, because I was never receiving answer when I was writing, and also to support, right? Because, I mean, these appointments are a killer just by themselves. Yeah, the person has really to prepare. Has to be really, really strong when you get into the room and sit down. Yeah, you have to really gather all your energy and all your confidence to really just to be there and exist as a person, because they can make you feel so small, and it's really, really tough. And so, yes, I choose. Yeah, sometimes I go and support. So. I'm there as a spectator, first of all. I'm just, supporting. So I'm just sitting next to my client, and I'm just, listening. And then sometimes I can ask, a few questions at the very end. There are sometimes where I can, it's not an opening. Do what you want or keep doing what you're doing, but with the hands like this. So it means I don't want to know what you're doing at the same time. So
absolutely.
Yeah, they don't know what we are doing with the client, but they know that the client is getting better. So they can't, they're not interested, but they're not saying, oh, don't do this or don't do that. And other times, instead, it's absolutely horrible. And of course, I'm there as a support. I don't interfere, but then I just say to my client, maybe you should get a second opinion, or maybe, you should ask to see someone else. So it's always changing.
Yeah. This kind of battleground, this having to ready yourself for this horrendous ordeal of going for an appointment, when it should be you're going for help, actually. It should be great, it should be a place of safety, a place of reassurance. It's a terrible, terrible situation. Most people don't realize that it's like that until they've been in the door and experienced it themselves. They have no idea what's happening in oncology.
Absolutely.
And so we've drafted our charter for oncology to actually highlight what's going on and to say that it needs to change now. And this whole culture, which is just horribly abusive, it needs to be addressed. It needs to have the spotlight shone on it, and we start doing something quite different. So, it's been exactly the same as long as I've been running Yes to Life. It's never changed at all, particularly that I've noticed. And I don't see any prospect of it changing unless we get right in there and say, hey, we don't like this.
Absolutely. And there are things that patients can do if they just, make 1+1. So, for example, we know that one of the tests for cancer is a PET scan, right? And the PET scan is it's glucose,
yes,
right? They give us a kind of radioactive form of glucose, so that all the cells go there and they are visible. when they see, you know, the tumor on the screen. So by just making 1+1, if you're giving me glucose, because so you're giving me sugar, right? Because you want to see the cancer cells on the screen, because the cancer cells are eating sugar. Why are you telling me that it doesn't matter what I eat? You know? So just by making this kind of, just by seeing this, I've noticed, because I'm saying to my clients, yeah, as soon as you get in, you know, if he says anything like about food, just make this observation. And as soon as my clients make this observation, the doctors start to kind of, oh, you know, maybe she knows something. Maybe I need to be more attentive here. I need to pay more attention. So just show that you are not a spectator of your health,
right?
That you're actually in charge of your body. And if you start showing that, they will respect you.
Good advice. Okay, we've just got a minute or two left. I just want to come back again to the thing you brought up several times while we've been talking, which is about the healing process. I think we both agreed that there's something kind of mysterious about the whole thing. It's not as straightforward as you think. It's just a linear, do all the right things and you get the right results. It doesn't work like that. Do you want to just say a little bit more about the process of healing and the sources of healing?
As a practitioner, I think the first thing to do is to look at inflammation, detoxification, and the gut. So heal the gut, the first thing. All disease starts in the gut. That was Hippocrates many, many centuries ago. For like the person start to establish this connection with your body, that dream that you have, that book that you want to write, that relationship that didn't work, that thing that you had there and you kept it aside, now is the moment, right? So take charge. Yeah, go and live your dream. Go and write the book. Find your spot. Find your corner. Find your refuge. And really get in touch with yourself, with who you are. And of course, eat clean, eat healthy, plant-based, do exercise, try to go to the sunshine. Try to be outside, walk bare feet if you can, just, you know, connection with the earth, grounding, go in a forest. In London, there is Epping Forest. It's very easily reachable by tube. You know, you don't have to go that far. Or you can go in a park, or you can go, you know, but just be outside, be in nature and try to find this connection and look around you, you know, really go deep and think that there is a need for change, and you can start today and you have time. Yeah, there is no rush. You just probably, if you had this news about your cancer, you need to think that nothing has changed compared from yesterday. You just today, you know, but yeah, nothing has really changed. So you have time.
Good point.
There is time.
Good point.
And, you know, whatever they say, you know, they just say it considering statistics. And you're not a statistic. Yeah, you're a person. So just by yourself, you can make a difference. But you need to believe in it. And you need to be really willing to change.
Right. Fantastic advice. Thank you, Sylvia. Look, quickly just tell people how they can find out more about you and your work and about your upcoming course.
Yes, so my website is nutritiontoheal.com. Uh-huh. And you can reach me by email at sylvia@nutritiontoheal.com. Sylvia spelled with the I.
Yes.
And yeah, and you can find me through Yes to Life, of course.
Of course. And thank you very much today for such a wide-ranging chat, Sylvia. I think we covered the waterfront.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully there's been something for everyone in there. really interesting and enjoyable talk. And thank you for being a great supporter of Yes to Life.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and thanks to everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening today. Sylvia's website is, as she mentioned, nutritiontoheal.com, so do take a look at the resources that are available there. And speaking about resources, remember that there is a wealth of resources available on the Yes to Life website, which is yestolife.org.uk. And the quickest way to get an overview is to click the Our Services tile near the top of the homepage. From there, you can go straight to resources such as this show, with nearly 500 back editions you can search by guest, topic or keyword. And then there's our Life Directory of Therapies and Providers, a world-class resource which enables you to learn about therapies and quickly find practitioners and organisations who deliver them, or to simply find out what resources are available near you. And then there's much more that's well worth taking a look at, all sorts of avenues to finding the support that you need. Thanks again for joining me. I'll be back again next week with another guest to introduce in the next Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.